Good morning. It's good to be here this morning. I'm excited to be here this morning. We have a message that is wonderful this morning. It's not a message from me, but it's a message from God. And the title this morning is Jesus, the Power to Forgive Sin. And all that we songs that we sang this morning, the joy that we can have is because of the fact that Jesus has the power to forgive sin. This morning we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 5, verses 17 through 26. How many of you remember the paralyzed man that was, the story about the paralyzed man that was let down through the roof? What happened to him? What happened to him when he was let down through the roof? Anybody know? There's two things that happened to him, actually. Yes, that's the one I wanted. The one that we remember the most of the time is that he was able to walk. Jesus restored him to be walking. But the biggest thing that happened is that his sins were forgiven. And we're going to look at that story this morning. So turn with me to Luke chapter 5. I'm going to read verse 17 through 26. And just before I do that, I'm going to read just a little bit of Mark. Mark's part of this story gives it just a little bit more detail. So I'm going to read Mark chapter verse 45 and then the first couple of verses of verse 2. And then I'll go into Luke chapter 5, verse 17. However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely. And this is talking about the leper. If you remember, our last message was about the leper that was healed, and this is talking about him. However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places, and they came to him from every direction. And again he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door, and he preached the word to them. Now we go into verse 17. Now it happened on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Then behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay down before him. And when they could not find how they might bring him in, because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling in the midst before Jesus. When he saw their face, he said to them, "Men, your sins are forgiven you." And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, "Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said to them, "Why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Rise up and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins." He said to the man who was paralyzed, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house." Immediately he rose up before them, took up what he had been lying on, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, "We have seen strange things today." Today we see another amazing piece of evidence being added to Luke's case that he's making, that Jesus is the Messiah. And that is that Jesus has the power to forgive sin. Somebody has said this: forgiveness is both mankind's greatest need and God's most important gift. And what an amazing gift it is if we truly think about the fact that we can be forgiven. Notice the healing of the leper in the last message and the paralytic in this one weren't all about being made physically whole. It was about being made spiritually whole. The leper asked to be made clean. And he has to be made clean again so he could worship. So the only way you could go back and is to worship was to be made clean. And the paralytic had his sins forgiven. It's about our souls, not our physical bodies. It's about our relationship with God. Because that's the only way that we can have a relationship with God is if our sins are forgiven. And to know that we have a Savior that can do that, which is what we're going to be looking at today. And we see here, as I read here at the beginning of Mark, how the leper had gone out and spread the news. Jesus couldn't come into the city without being mobbed. And we see that happening today. He came into Capernaum. He was at the house. We don't know what house it was. Some people might believe it was Peter's house, that maybe he was there. But the house was so full that you couldn't even get inside the door anymore. And he was teaching. It says there were Pharisees. Verse 17 says there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had came out from every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. So there were people there from all over Israel, from the north to the south. And if you've ever been to Israel, it's a little ways. But there were people there, these Pharisees. And I'm sure there were some there that wanted to really hear what Jesus had to say. some of these Pharisees and these scribes. And there were some that were there to try to trap him, I'm sure. Some were there to truly listen and wanted to hear what Jesus had to say. And some were there to try to find something to trap him with. Matthew Henry says this about this occasion. He said, they sat by as spectators, censors and spies, to pick up something on which to ground a reproach or an accusation. And we saw the Pharisees doing that all the time. They listened to him. They listened to him, but they listened to him to try to catch him, to try to find something to accuse him of. And this is what Henry says about it. He says, how many are there in the midst of our assemblies where the gospel is preached that do not sit under the word, but sit by? It is to them as a tale that is told them, not as a message that is sent them. They are willing that we should preach before them, not that we should preach to them. As I had to think about that, really hit me. How many times do people sit and listen to, and it's just a good story. What we preach, what this book is just a good book. It's a good story. And if that really is all that it is to us, we will miss the point. It is not a tale that is told us, but it is a message that is sent to us. And it's the reason we know who God is and how to live for him and what all he has done for us. Looking at verse 18, then we have here friends that were persistent. Wouldn't you love to have friends that were like this guy's friends? Look at this. Then behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, and when they sought to bring him in and lay before him, and when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the rooftop and let him down with his bed through the tiling into the midst before Jesus. It would be really interesting to know who these men were. Were they friends? Were they family? They were pretty persistent. Were they other sick people that had been healed? But it was somebody who believed with all their heart that if they could just get this man in front of Jesus, amazing things would happen. They believed it with all their heart. Their persistence showed that they had to be someone who had no doubts about who Jesus was. I had to wonder, you know, did these men hear that Jesus was in town? See, he had been out in the wilderness. You know, Mark tells us he had to stay in the wilderness because people flocked to him, crowded to him, and we saw that again today. But maybe these men saw their chance. You know, if they had to carry this paralytic out into the wilderness, who knows how far they had to go. But here's a chance. Here's our chance. He's close. We're just going to go right on over there. We grab him. We'll carry him over. We don't have to carry him for miles. And this is going to be a lot easier. And I can't imagine their disappointment when they got there and the house is full. You walk up, there's got to be people everywhere. You know, most people, I would probably be of the type to say, well, we tried. Sorry, we tried. I guess not today. Maybe we'll try again maybe tomorrow. But not these guys. These guys weren't quitters. These guys were friends that you want by your side. They were determined at all costs to have their friend talk to Jesus. Mark 2:4 gives us a little more details. It says, when they could not come near to him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, think about that, when they had broken through the roof, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. My understanding is that houses in Israel had flat roofs, and there was like a courtyard up there, and there was usually steps from the outside going up there. So I'm assuming that's how they could get there. Everybody was trying to crowd inside. They thought, I don't know whose idea it was. So whose idea was it to go on the roof and break through the roof? I mean, did the guys go crazy? But they did it. You know, these men, these friends were willing to tear apart a roof to get their friend an audience in front of Jesus. They were willing to face the wrath of the homeowner for damaging his home. They were willing to face the wrath of the crowd who was being interrupted from hearing Jesus teach. They were willing to face the wrath of Jesus who was being interrupted. And I had to think about it. Do I have enough faith in Jesus to go out of my way, for you to go out of your way, to help your friends find him? Do you have enough faith in Jesus that you would interrupt other people's lives so that you could introduce your friend to Jesus? Do you have enough faith in Jesus that you would possibly make other people angry in order for your friend to meet Jesus? What amazing friends he had that they were willing to do that, to do all that. Imagine being in the house. I had to think about this. Imagine being in the house and you're listening intently and all of a sudden something hits you on the head and stuff starts falling around. And you look up and here there's some men up on the roof tearing a hole in the roof. What in the world? Here they let a guy down through on a stretcher. I mean, I had to think about that. What happens here today, I thought it'd be fun to put somebody on a roof with an impact, start loosening screws while I'm preaching. You know, and first of all, we'd kind of ignore, we'd like, it's just the wind. But if it kept going, somebody would go outside. Now, if it was somebody who was a really good speaker, maybe people wouldn't want to go outside to look to see what's going on up there. But then all of a sudden, you look up and somebody starts moving the ceiling tile away. That'd be strange. It's the reason the people said we saw strange things happen today. We'll see at the end. They did. They saw some really strange things happening. That these friends were willing to do that. What a wonderful, wonderful promise. Jesus' reaction to these persistent friends. When he saw their faith, he said to them, "Man, your sins are forgiven you." So what happened? Nothing. Nothing happened. Nothing physical. Something wonderful happened on the spiritual side, but nothing happened on the outside. Notice that what Jesus did was not heal him. Jesus didn't heal him. He said, "Your sins are forgiven because of your faith. Because of your faith and the faith of your friends, your sins are forgiven." He gave him something greater than walking ever would be. For his faith, Jesus gave him the greatest gift that man has ever received, the forgiveness of sins. There is nothing that is more important in a person's life. There is nothing that has more ramifications for now and forever than the forgiveness of sins. Without it, there is no peace on earth and no way of getting into heaven. Without it, we have to pay for our own salvation, which is impossible. We would have to do it all on our own strength, which is impossible. Without it, the guilt of sin could never truly be relieved. I think that's the greatest one for me. Without it, the guilt of sin could never truly be relieved. To think about the fact that I would have to carry the weight of my sins for the rest of my life is huge. It's a big deal. What a wonderful gift that God gave this man, that God has given to us. You know, I have to wonder if this man was disappointed, if his friends were disappointed, if they looked at each other and go, "What? We wanted him to walk again. We wanted him to be healed. Were they disappointed?" I don't know. And I don't know. I always think, I don't know if this will happen or not, but in my mind, I think it'd be interesting to hear the rest of the story when we get to heaven. This would be one of those neat stories where you could listen to it and talk to these guys and see, what were you really thinking? What were you expecting that Jesus was going to do? Why did you have such courage? Why did you have such faith? What had happened in the days prior? What messages had you heard? What had you talked about that you had faith that if you tore down the roof, if you needed to get to this, to get to Jesus, that he would give you what you wanted? It'd be interesting to hear the rest of the story someday, to see all of the workings. And I think about it, it'd be interesting to see all the workings of God in Christians' lives. So many times we don't understand why things happen the way that they do. And I think someday maybe, you know, there's I think of all the hours of having done the message on media and all the hours of YouTube that's out there. I mean, we literally cannot watch it. It would take thousands and thousands of years to watch it. I just think about that triggered something for me. If God would let us see all the things that he has done in people's lives, how he worked in their lives, there's lots and lots of things for us to rejoice in when we get to heaven, when we see the lives that Jesus changed. If we can see those things, if we can see how, and you see across all eternity, all the way back to the beginning, to today, the way that God worked in people's lives, we could spend thousands of years learning about this. I think there'd be many, many times of saying, that makes sense now. Now I understand. And I think what we'll see most of the time is that there's a much bigger picture than the picture that we see. A much bigger picture than what we see. And I don't know if the guy got this here or not, but what Jesus was really sharing with the world was the fact that he has the power to forgive sin. And we see the scribes and the Pharisees' reaction. You know, they're thinking this in their mind. They didn't say it out loud. They're just thinking it in their mind. It says, "And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason or to think in their mind, saying, 'Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?'" You know, the Pharisees and the scribes weren't thinking wrong. What they were thinking was right. Who can forgive sins but God alone? There was nothing wrong with that statement or that belief. They had it right. What they got wrong was their disbelief that Jesus was God. That's what they had wrong. Remember, the healing of the leper was to be a testimony to the priests of who Jesus was. Luke 5:14 tells us, Jesus talking to the leper, he said, "And he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing as a testimony to them, just as Moses commanded." Here we see Jesus giving a testimony to the scribes and Pharisees on who he was and that he is God. For anyone else to say it then and even to say it today, it would be blasphemy for anybody to say that he can forgive sins. And they didn't say their doubts out loud. But Jesus, thankfully, sometimes it scares me, and sometimes I'm thankful that Jesus can read our minds. Sometimes that scares me. Sometimes it makes me very thankful because he can see our hearts. Verse 22 says, "But when Jesus perceived their thoughts," this is Jesus' reaction to the Pharisees now. "But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said to them, 'Why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, rise up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins,' he said to the man who was paralyzed, 'I say to you, rise, take up your bed, and go to your house.'" I think verse 24 is a wonderful statement that we can't quite fathom well enough, I believe. "But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins." That is why he healed this man. It says, which is easier, to tell somebody, hey, your sins are forgiven, or rise up and walk? Well, actually, both are pretty easy to say, but one is a lot harder to prove than the other one. You can say your sins are forgiven, and no one knows the difference. If you say rise up and walk, and the person doesn't rise up and walk, you got a problem. People aren't going to believe you. And both are impossible by man's own power. Somebody said this, "That you may know and believe that the Son of Man, though now upon earth in his state of humiliation, has power to forgive sins and to release sinners upon the gospel terms from eternal punishment of sin," he said to the paralytic, "arise and walk," and cured him immediately. The miracle in the physical sphere, which men could test, approved his power in the realm of the spiritual, where only the forgiven one could actually know. "But that you may know that the Son of Man has the power on earth to forgive sins, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." And now we see the man's reaction to Jesus. Immediately, he rose up before them, took up what he had been laying on, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, "We have seen strange things today." You know, Jesus basically told them, "Stand up, take your stuff, and go home." And the man stood up, took his stuff, went home. Sounds pretty simple. I think Luke sometimes understates things quite a lot. I'm guessing there was some jumping and hugging and saying thank you and praising God the whole way home. And I had to wonder if he walked or if he ran. I'm guessing he ran home and his friends with him. And again, we see a complete and total healing instantly. There was no, you know, "You need to do this. You need to go to physical therapy for 3 weeks, and they'll start working on your legs, and then you have to learn how to walk again." No, it says he rose, took up what he had been laying on, and departed to his own house. All the people who witnessed this were amazed and in awe, saying, "We have seen strange things today." Seeing a paralyzed person lowered through a ceiling and then getting up and walking had to be strange. Seeing a paralyzed person lowered through the ceiling, well, I read that one. A man saying that things that only God can say had to be strange. The concept of forgiveness without sacrifice had to be strange. See, that's a new concept for them, especially for the Jews, that a man's sins could be forgiven without a sacrifice. Now, there was a sacrifice coming. And there was a sacrifice given so that these sins could be forgiven. But this was a new and strange concept for them. But what a wonderful revelation to the world today. And as was said earlier today, we have the answer today. Luke recorded and gave the answer to man's greatest need. And it was revealed to the world this day through this healing of this paralytic. The forgiveness of sin, the burden of guilt crushes us, can be lifted. What a wonderful, wonderful promise. when I think about that, it wants to make me, I don't look like it, but it makes me want to jump up and down for joy. To think about not having to carry all the guilt of the things that I've been guilty of in my past life. And you can say, well, Dwayne, you haven't been that bad. So, what a wonderful gift. What a wonderful promise that Jesus revealed to these people today. And to them it was strange. And to us sometimes it's strange. To the world it's really strange that somebody would forgive sins, that those sins can be lifted, can be removed, and we can be set free. And it doesn't matter how bad the sin is. The guilt of it can be removed because Jesus has the power to forgive sins. Maybe not all the consequences, but the power to start anew and to be free from that burden is a gift only God can give. And he has made it available for us today. It was revealed here in Luke, but it is available for us today, just like it was available for that paralytic back then. You know, and the world's answer to this need for forgiveness is to say, well, there is no sin. Don't worry about it. Don't feel guilty. Do whatever you want to do. Don't feel guilty. Don't feel guilty. How well does that work? Not very well. What happens? People try to bury themselves, try to numb the pain with alcohol or drugs or all kinds of living. But we know, and they know, deep down in their hearts, that this is not true. That they do need forgiveness. They do need a Savior. And there's only one way to do that. There's only one way, and that is Jesus. And he has given us that option. And the fact that Jesus is willing to leave heaven, come to this earth and be falsely accused, denied, mocked, and crucified so that our sins are paid is something that I'm afraid we often, too often, take for granted. I don't think we can grasp the price that was paid so that we can be forgiven. What a wonderful gift. What a wonderful thing to celebrate. You know, we celebrate the birth of Jesus this holiday, but I think one of the greatest gifts, and we wouldn't have it without the birth, I know, but the greatest gift that God can give us is the forgiveness of sins, that we can have a relationship with him. What a wonderful, wonderful gift that he has given us. And are we thankful enough for the gift of forgiveness this morning? Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that it's not just a tale, it's not just a story, Lord, but it is a message to us. And Lord, if we look at it as a story, Lord, it doesn't really affect our life. A story is just a story and it can affect our life. But Lord, when it's a message that's directed to us, Lord, then we can take it and use it. And Lord, this morning we want to thank you and give you praise for Jesus, Lord, and his power to forgive sin. Lord, I pray this morning if there's anybody here that has not done that, Lord, if there's anybody here that has a heart or a guilty conscience, Lord, of things that they know that they need to give to you, Lord, I just pray that they can do that this morning. Lord, if they need somebody to help them with that, Lord, help them to seek out that help. Lord, help us to be friends like the friends of this paralytic, Lord, that will know our friends well enough, and Lord, that are willing to be brave and courageous to bring our friends to you, Lord, to bring them and to put them at your feet, Lord, knowing, Lord, give us the faith to know that you will help them and give them what they need. Lord, we thank you so much for your word this morning, and we thank you for this gift of forgiveness. In your name we pray. Amen.